Hello everyone, I am Dr. C.J. Varghese, welcoming all of you to the Global GNM Health Tips Day 265. Yesterday we started discussing the SBS of the pharyngeal ducts. We saw in detail what exactly is a frontal fear conflict. We postponed the study of powerless conflict for a later time when we will discuss the thyroid ducts in details. I am repeating once again. The biological conflict linked to the pharyngeal ducts is a male frontal fear conflict or a female powerless conflict, depending on the person's gender laterality and hormone status. You please try to learn the following explanations of it very thoroughly. In a right-handed male with normal hormone status and with a frontal fear conflict, left pharyngeal ducts will be affected. In a left-handed male with normal hormone status and with a frontal fear conflict, right pharyngeal ducts will be affected. In a right-handed male with low testosterone status and with a powerless conflict, right pharyngeal ducts will be affected. In a left-handed male with low testosterone status and with a powerless conflict, left pharyngeal ducts will be affected. All these were the different conditions in a male. Now let us consider the conditions in the case of females. A right-handed female with normal hormone status and with a powerless conflict will have right pharyngeal ducts affected. A left-handed female with normal hormone status and with powerless conflict will have her left pharyngeal ducts affected. A right-handed female with low estrogen status and frontal fear conflict will have her left pharyngeal ducts affected. And finally, a left-handed female with low estrogen status and frontal fear conflict will have her right pharyngeal ducts affected. What is to be concluded here is that with left-handers, the conflict is transferred to the other brain hemisphere. Dr. Hammer discovered that the SBS of the pharyngeal ducts follows the gullet mucosa sensitivity pattern with hypersensitivity during CFAs and epileptic crisis and hyposensitivity during healing phase. Due to this hyposensitivity during the CFAs, there is mild to severe type of pain in the neck area as a symptom during the CFAs. This is because of the ulceration in the lining of the pharyngeal ducts, which occur in proportion to the degree and duration of the conflict and subjectivity of the person affected. The biological purpose of the cell loss is to widen the ducts to allow more of the oxygen intake, even though the present-day pharyngeal ducts do not have a respiratory function. During PCLA or the first part of the healing phase, there is cell proliferation to replenish the lost tissue with swelling due to edema or fluid accumulation at the healing site. At this stage, this swelling is often diagnosed as mononucleosis or five-phase disease. We studied earlier mononucleosis in relation to the lymph nodes. The confusion whether it is the swelling of the pharyngeal ducts or of lymph nodes can be cleared with the help of a brain CT by seeing the exact brain relay. Additionally, there will be an increase of lymphocyte count in the lymph node affection and nothing of that sort in a healing phase of the pharyngeal ducts. A backup of fluid in the affected duct during a hanging healing due to continuous conflict lapses can result in the development of a cyst located on the lateral side of either side of the neck or collarbone area. If it occurs in the mediastinum, it is called as retrosternal struma. In the case of thyroid ducts, similar cysts are common in the middle part of the front of neck. As and when the conflict is completely resolved and the epileptic crisis also is over, these cysts also recede parallel to the completion of the healing process. With an incomplete healing, these cysts remain hardened and stay longer. Misdiagnosis often happens with these cysts in the pharyngeal ducts, and the conventional medicine calls them as non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, thinking that they are tumors and they are developed in the cervical lymph nodes. Lymphomas with elevated lymphocyte count are called Hodgkin's disease. In chronic lymphocyte leukemia, there will be increase of lymphoblasts but without the swelling of lymph nodes. With the presence of the lymphocyte leukemia cells in the lymph nodes, this also is usually diagnosed as non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. You please see how the embryology becomes very important in GNM studies, whereas in conventional medicine, it has no clinical relevance and therefore almost totally ignored. If the above type of cyst is found in the pharyngeal ducts in mediastinal region, it is diagnosed as a small cell bronchial carcinoma or small cell lung cancer. Remember here, the small cell bronchial carcinoma we studied earlier in connection with the so-called mediastinal carcinoma, where the callus leaks out of a thoracic vertebra into the mediastinum, and when callus is found close to the bronchi. If the cyst is larger, it can compress the vital vessels or trachea with the respective symptoms like breathing difficulties, acute shortness of breath, choking fits, etc. With a syndrome or with water retention, the situation can become even critical. Just as the case of all organs controlled from the sensory, post-sensory or premotor sensory cortex, the epileptic crisis of the pharyngeal ducts program also can have a troubled circulation, disease spells, short disturbances or complete loss of consciousness depending on the intensity of the conflict. Also, there can have a drop of blood sugar caused by the excessive use of glucose by the brain cell. That is all about pharyngeal ducts program. Only GNM considers this as so important. With request to learn GNM well, I am Dr. C.J. Verghese from Kerala, India.